Our speakers have excelled in this series of lessons. I know that I've benefited from every lesson that I've heard, and we expect that to continue. Of course, there's one distinction that I enjoy. I'm the oldest speaker in the series. And I couldn't keep from thinking just a few years ago, one of our older brethren presented an excellent lecture in a series such as this, and I heard two preachers talking later. Don't you think he's slipping just a little? I guess I qualify. I'm old enough to be slipping, but maybe by the grace of God I can slip the other way. My subject's one of the best. I'm glad that I have this subject. Our Lord Jesus declared, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's not enough that we have it in the volume. Probably all of us have a few Bibles. But do all of us have enough of the book, enough of the gospel, in our hearts and minds? Further, Jesus said, it's written in the prophets, "They shall all be taught of God. He that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." When there is learning, there is change. So conversely, if there is no change, there is no learning. One can be exposed to the truth. He can have these words in his mind. But has the change occurred? Maybe a better question, is the change occurring? The Christian life is a life of growth. We grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. And beloved, we will not grow in the grace unless we're growing in the knowledge. Knowledge is vital. When you think about the mission of the Lord's church, we're thinking about an organism, because we're alive, an organism who has as its mission telling others about Jesus. We're all learners and teachers. But we can look at the two different categories. You know, sometimes we're inclined to blame the teacher or the preacher if we realize that we're not really learning like we should. And then sometimes the preacher or the teacher blames the students because they're not learning as they should. The Apostle Paul explained how he approached the wicked city of Corinth. But in that wicked city, people converted to Christ. But still in the second chapter of the first letter, the first two verses, he declared, "When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom in declaring unto you the testimony of God." So, preacher, have heart. There's hope for us. Our mission is not to try to impress people with our intellect. We have limits there. But we have a greater mission than to impress people with us. He went on to explain, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I need to be telling me that over and over again. And I submit, so do all Bible teachers and gospel preachers. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There was a day when we prayed, Lord, help the preacher stand behind the cross and preach the oracles of God. And we probably need that prayer more. Preaching is not for the purpose of being seen, but rather it's for the purpose of helping people to see. And on the student side, we all remember Hebrews 5, beginning with verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience in the things that he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that another teach you, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For strong meat belongs to those who are of full age. Milk belongs to the babe, but strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. A vital mission of the Lord's church is developing Bible teachers. Every congregation needs to take this as a serious mission. It's not enough to have a few teachers that we enjoy hearing. There are potential teachers, far more than we imagine, and they need to be developed. Are we learning God's Word? Is fruit being born by the study that we engage in? We love the King James translation because it's easier to memorize, usually. But 2 Timothy 2:15, where the Apostle Paul, or more correctly, the Holy Spirit through Paul, was instructing Timothy, study to show thyself approved. The better translation is, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, as a workman who needs not be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. Diligence. Are we Bible students? Do we dare sit back, confident because we have learned a few things in the Bible? We always need greater knowledge, more understanding. And the source is the book. John explained in 1 John 1 and verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Knowledge of God's Word makes possible fellowship with God. Speaking for the apostles, John said, you can have fellowship with us, but our fellowship is with God. So as we read God's Word and comprehend its content, then we're together. Not only with this generation as we walk in the light, but more important, we have fellowship with God. In that same epistle, last chapter, next to the last verse, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Knowing God, fellowship with God, oh, you remember, we're baptized into Christ. Romans 6, 3, 4, Colossians 2, 12, Galatians 3, 26, 27. Now, that is true unless we just got wet. And that's all. But the penitent believer who is expressing trust in Jesus Christ and Him crucified completes conversion as he submits to Jesus' command to be baptized that he might be saved. Knowing God means having fellowship with God ultimately. And when do we know God? Hereby we do know that we know Him because we keep His commandments. 1 John 2 and verse 3. So there is a change from the inside out. We see and rejoice when someone is buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. We're convinced that this person's confession of faith is genuine. He's putting his trust in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, as a newborn babe in Christ, he's to desire the sincere milk of the Word. So he needs to study and to learn that he may grow and develop in Christ and be used in the best possible way to accomplish God's will in this world. We give some of our time to reading the Bible. But the theme that we're focusing on now is study. Giving diligence to make that content belong to us that we might more fully belong to God. And this point will not surprise most of you. I submit that one way we can grow in grace and knowledge is through memorization of God's Word. Are you thinking, I can't memorize, preacher? If so, you're right. As long as you think that you can't, you can't. But you can. I'm convinced that you can. You know, it's just possible, those of you that Not I. It's just altogether possible that you could tell me the 23rd Psalm, probably word for word. But you can't memorize? We need to memorize not only the content, but also the reference. And I've been told, I can't remember the reference. But that person knows his telephone number, knows his street address. There are basic references that we need. Yes, I know you can read, and I know you have a concordance. But you know, the very best concordance, what does it weigh? 7 or 8 pounds? You don't carry that with you everywhere that you go. And sometime you may have an opportunity at work or visiting with a friend. What does the Bible say about? We need to know. If we don't memorize it word for word, we need to know where it's found. We need to be able to find it, to rapidly point out the content of Acts 2:38, 1 Peter 3:21, 2 Peter 3:9, Romans 10:9-10, 1 John 4:15. We've pretty well covered in those few references the basics of what must I do to be saved? And of course, Matthew 16:18. The church doesn't matter. Jesus says, I'm going to build it, and he did. In fact, when he died on the cross to redeem us from our sins, 1 Peter 1:18-19, he purchased his church, Acts 20:28. And the oneness that must prevail in that church is richer than what most people realize. This, in many people's minds, has become a time of unity in diversity. The only area where we can have unity in diversity is when we're talking about expedient matters. By expedient matters, we mean when God has told us what, but he hasn't told us how. If we're going to do what God says, then we have to determine how. You may do it one way, someone else may do it another, but you're still one in Christ. Only in this area. Several years ago, I listened to one of our administrators of what we used to call a Christian school, college, university. He was advocating unity and diversity. And several of us preachers were listening to him, and you couldn't keep from thinking, you know, he's talking about in these matters of opinion, where we can do certain things in a variety of ways. But that's not the testimony of what's going on in his university. Unity? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We need to know 1 Corinthians 1:10. That's the nature of the unity that Jesus prayed for in John 17:20-21. And it's presented to us in a way that enriches us spiritually. And, you know, are you going to memorize several verses? Well, put Ephesians 4, the introductory verses, on your list. First three verses tell us how to be one. Next three verses tell us why we must be one. And we have to apply the how before we're going to arrive at, here's why we must be one. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God the Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. We are one in Christ Jesus. If the unity is missing, we're not the people we claim to be. Oh, we have a lot of confidence because, you know, we know that Jesus said, I'll build my church. And we know that the churches of Christ salute you is in Romans 16:16. But it's easier to put the sign in front of the building than it is to have our hearts filled with faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's easier to make a confession than it is to live the life. Let's take seriously God's holy word. Let's be serious enough about it that we'll commit more and more of it to memory so that we can make application in our daily conduct. Oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Psalms 119, verse 97. Don't we need some memorization of God's Word if we're going to be meditating frequently on that truth? Surely we do. There may be atheists that have committed to memory more Scripture than we. So obviously it's not enough to memorize. That mind that is filled with God's Word must also be mind that is trusting the Christ. A mind that seeks to develop more and more in Christ-likeness. Remember, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. A disciple is one that is making application. And we must study for the purpose of applying the truth that we learn. Otherwise, we're going to make a show of religion that doesn't exist. People are not going to see in us evidence of the faith that has been once for all delivered to the saints. Preachers, as we look at what Paul wrote to Timothy, have a specific charge. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in so doing thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Sometimes we hear young preachers, and the content of their lesson is tremendous, but they're talking down to us. I think I know why. I think they're talking down to us because they've been listening to some older preachers who talk down to us. The older preacher can get by with it usually. But the younger preacher just sort of rubs us the wrong way when he sort of sets himself up as the authority. Take heed. Continue in the truth. See, as disciples of Jesus, we are learners and we are followers. You rejoice in the analogy that Jesus gave of His being the good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. And in the explanation that He gave concerning the blessings that He provides for His sheep. My sheep, He said in John 10:27, my sheep, hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So His sheep were His disciples. And what about the promise? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man be able to pluck them out of my hand. Probably there are people who know a little bit about the church. In their limited knowledge, they know that we teach the necessity of obedience. But they think those people live without security. Why? They don't know whether they're saved. They don't know whether they're going to heaven. No, beloved, we have security. I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man be able to pluck them out of my hand. As a Christian, you can know that no person in the world can cause you to be lost as long as you're faithful to the Lord. As long as you hear Him and obey Him. So yes, we rejoice in the Lord always. Filled with gratitude. Growing in anticipation of that better life when this life is over. Mentioned a moment ago that preachers have this charge through Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:16. But every Christian must make application. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1 verse 22. And as we examine ourselves, we always know there is room for improvement. There's space for growth. We need to be more Christ-like. We need to follow more closely in His steps, and that requires remembering where He walked. Specifically, He walked to Calvary. And if we're not cross-bearers, we're not following the Christ. Even hereunto are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. 1 Peter 2 and 21. In this day of demanding instant satisfaction, perpetual happiness, People forget what Christianity is all about. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In the Bible, we learn. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. We learn that we must deny ourselves. Otherwise, we cannot acknowledge our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And specifically, he said, you follow my steps. He was talking about what he had done, and what he did was to suffer for us on the cross. The sinless one died for us sinners. 1 Corinthians 15 and 3. And as surely as we accept that sacrifice, we are changed by the gospel that we've heard and by the gospel that we teach to one another. It could be that some Christians who regularly attend just feel a lot better if in certain groups it's not learned that they're a New Testament Christian. Then they're not making application. If we deny him, he's going to deny us. Again, as the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1, beginning with verse 8, he said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling. If we feel better because they didn't know that we were Christians, then we're ashamed of the testimony of Jesus. We're ashamed of the one who died that we might live. And as we study, we must develop spiritually, become more and more like Jesus. Most of us agree that to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. And to be Christ-like is to be a very unusual person. Yet, Jesus died for everybody. And God continues to be long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. So, we make application. And if we're not making application, we're missing the mark. And our study is not really providing the spiritual dividends that could be ours. We're amazed at the teachings of Jesus and his apostles. You remember it was he who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In Acts 20, 35, the context is one of, he's talking about material things. Someone told the story of the father and son who had hitched up the team of mules to the old wagon and had traveled several miles to the little church building where Daddy preached. And Daddy preached. And as they were going back home, the boy said, Dad, how much did they give you? He said, a quarter. Dad, how much did you put in? A quarter. If you'd put in more, you'd have gotten out more. Well, you know, that really works. When we give of ourselves more fully, we're going to be enriched spiritually. You know, we think we can do so little because the time is limited. I mentioned the memorization a few moments ago. We are still in the dawn of the 21st century. And we Americans excel in so many different ways. And we're inclined to sort of look back on our forefathers. It was in the fall of 1891 that Nashville Bible College began. It began with 32 students. Then an additional 21 students attended the Bible classes only. Of course, reports were given concerning what was going on at this new school. By the way, their purpose was not to train preachers, though most of the men were preparing to be preachers. It was a co-ed school. And the purpose of that college was to prepare these college students for living the Christian life. It was told that they were required to memorize the book of Romans. But someone else reported, no, some memorized all of the New Testament and some of the Old Testament. There must have been some great minds back then. Beloved, we can do more than we've done. And we're not going to be able to tell others about the Christ unless we're filled with His Word and determined to live as He lived. We must be willing to ask. Let our fellow man refuse to study, but let us not refuse to offer to study with that person. It's good for us to preach personal evangelism if we're trying to be personal evangelists. So we develop. We develop in providing more teachers. We develop in showing a greater interest in our fellow man, whoever he may be and wherever he may live. There are many opportunities. There is a great need for soundness that's going to be expressed in conduct on the part of every child of God. We cannot shrink up into our little individual shells and still be the people that God calls us to be. You remember how Jesus taught? He began what most people would say the greatest sermon ever preached. Seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are we blessed? Do these Beatitudes describe us as the people that we are and the people